We are live.
Good morning. Let's bring the February 3rd meeting of the NGRAB for, let's call to order and do roll call, please.
Jared Martin.
Here.
Mike White. Not present. Mike Alley.
Here.
Barb Hagresh. Not present. Nate Levine. Nate? He was here. We'll come back to him. Pedro Mayoral. Not present. Mark Adams.
Here.
So until we... Nate, there's Nate.
Okay.
Nope. We need to wait for Nate to get back on. Here he comes.
Oh, now he's back on. He must have just gotten kicked off.
Yes. So, Nate, are you here? There he is. I can't hear you, Nate. But he is here, so we can proceed if you like.
His keeps muting. I'm watching it. It's mute, unmute. Well, Nate is here. We can see him. We just can't hear him. Okay, we'll mark Nate as here because we can see him on the screen. Can I get approval of the agenda for February 3rd?
I would move approval as presented.
Can I get a second?
Mike Alley, second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Okay, approved. We need to approve the minutes from October's meeting, since we didn't really have a meeting. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from October?
So moved, Mike Alley.
And a second?
I'll second, Mark Adams.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All against say nay. All right, approved. The first thing we have to do is officer elections. I am the chair right now. I wish to stay chair. If someone would like to nominate me, that would be great.
I would nominate Jared to retain the chair position.
And second?
Mike Alley, second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay. And approved. I get to stay the chair. All right. We need a new vice chair. Mike White is just too busy to continue. He's going to stay on the board. He doesn't get to make very many meetings. So is there someone that would like to be? I'm getting a lot of feedback from something. Someone, Mark or Nate, would you guys like to be the vice chair?
I'd be interested.
Okay, I would nominate Mark Adams for vice chair here in a second.
Mute the Nate with the baby.
Mike Alley, second.
All in favor of Mark Adams as vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. All right, approved. Vice chair Mark Adams.
Hey, everyone, please mute. No, Annie, hold on. Oh. Nate, can you mute your video? So on your video, mute yourself, and then you can have your sound on your phone. It's the double that's catching it. There we go.
Okay, is that where I was getting the feedback? Okay.
Yeah, you can call in on your phone and talk through your phone, but you have to have the sound turned off on your video or else we get the feedback.
All right. Well, let's move on to our second action item, discussion recommendations for 2022-23 budget. Gonna turn it over to Sarah this time. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, well, thank you. And good morning, everybody. Happy February. Nate, do you want to try and call in for the sound before I start? Looks like he's dialing. Just just want to make sure everyone can participate. Do you want me to get started, Nate? Okay, all right. All right, so I will just do a quick screen share. I just wanted to kind of do a quick overview of all the maximum indebtedness sort of projects. I know I sent out the memo that I normally do, but just figured I would do a quick overview of it. Let's do a quick share here. And then if you guys have any questions, since obviously everything that we did as part of the max indebtedness process feeds into our budget every year, which makes it a lot easier, and you shouldn't see a lot of surprises that way. So as for just kind of the highlights, I would just point out our grant, our standard kind of rehabilitation restoration grant program. So as you might remember, last budget year, we decided to collapse the remaining loan funds into that program, along with the fact that we just hadn't had a lot of activity during COVID. So we started this fiscal year with about $2.6 million in this particular fund. We have about $1.5 left, so things are moving pretty good. You know, in about 6 months, we've gone through about $1 million. So we're feeling pretty good about that. So what you'll see for proposed for next year would be that additional $1 million that we had planned to continue to put into that particular program as part of the MI process. Development infrastructure, we still haven't really had a lot of hits on that one. Obviously, we created that as sort of a standalone in case the grant funds were out, somebody was working on a project and had that, you know, water, sewer, you know, type issue that can run millions. So we'll continue to roll that over to have it available, but obviously at any point in time, we can always collapse it into the grant program as the things funded in the infrastructure program are the same as what's allowed in the standard grant program. Affordable housing, kind of the same situation. We used it the first year. We haven't used it since, so we rolled it over. Again, this year we'll be recommending rolling over the 300. The difference here is we had one more bucket of 300 kind of set aside that we hadn't put into our budget, and we utilized a portion of that, 150,000, for the new strategic grant program that was approved by the agency in late January. So that'll be specifically to help folks for sort of those outdoor safety components. So it could be enclosures for trash, exterior surveillance, security cameras, gates, things of that nature. We don't know how popular it's gonna be. We're hoping it goes live this week. We're just finishing the website right now for it. But in order to kind of avoid that moment of we're out of funds, do we fund it? We're just approving the budget where things get a little messy. We are proposing putting another 150 into it for next fiscal year. And so that would also sort of be coming out of this sort of set aside pile that we had said for the affordable housing program, keeping in mind everything that we were allowing under this is allowed under the normal grant program. So if we wanted to designate in the future specific funds for this program, we could still do that. The Silverton Road 17th Street left turn lane project, that was in the budget for this fiscal year. We'll be rolling over those funds. As some of the board members are aware, we've kind of in doing some high level looking, we realized sort of the Pine Street extension, the development of the former Zamora site, and this project all are sort of contingent on whether or not the railroad will allow us to do any modifications to the crossing. And any decision they make would affect those all designs of all three of them. So before starting the design of the 17th Street turn lane, which could have to be changed and wasting money, we're starting a process of engaging with the railroad now to figure out if they'd even allow us to do anything and what that could look like. And then we could move into the design portion of this particular project. Pine Street redevelopment is still in there. As for an update, obviously the site's currently being used as the overnight sheltering space. That lease for that type of use would end at the beginning of May. And then after that, we do have a new lease in place, but it'll be for administrative use. So the site will still continue to be used, but it won't be used for overnight sheltering at that point. And that's another 1-year lease. So we'll continue to activity on the site while we're working on these development aspects of that larger kind of development concept. The Gateway Streetscape Enhancement, so that's just tied to other developments that might be occurring. We've got some funding set aside for that. Property acquisitions, once again, the board wanted to make sure we would be prepared at any time. So we have some still in the budget right now that we haven't used. And then in the future, we've got some more in line that we would have available. Niles Avenue infrastructure, that's one that we've moved. We did have it in our sort of large picture MI planning to potentially be one for this coming fiscal year. But with just the amount of work and projects that are already in the queue, especially with public works and things being behind, we've gone ahead and pushed this out a year. This is also a project where we had said that URA would only cover a portion of that. And so it's also working with public works on the funding. And I think, as some of you might remember, when this project came up a few years ago, there was just a lot of complexities with it. It's not just the infrastructure piece, it's also connecting of private utilities. There's some safety and security concerns. So it's a much bigger project. And so in conversations with Public Works, we decided to go ahead and push it out a little bit so that we have the proper staffing to really take it on and start looking at it more appropriately. Pine Street realignment, so that's tied to that larger, you know, development of the road and the turn lane and Zamora. So we've still got the funding set aside for that. And then some type of bike ped path alternative. We've got the design money is still in our budget. We've just rolled it over. That was one of those things that the board had asked that we maintain before we went through that maximum debt in this process to make sure we had the funding for it in the future. Environmental cleanup, so that's sort of an as is. We have that in the budget, we roll it over. It's tied to, you know, we get our hands on a site, it needs some, you know, some different cleanup work. We've got the funding there to just jump right in and do it. And then lastly is the Salem Industrial Drive improvements. So that could be a variety of things, just depending on kind of what happens in that particular area. It is sort of the last on the list. So keeping in mind if projects run over, then that's sort of where we might be taking funds from in the future if we needed to. So I just kind of wanted to go over those really briefly and make sure everybody had a good update as to what was going on. And then I also included in your packet the grant update. So that's what shows you sort of the, right here, the all the projects that are currently out there and committed under review. And it provides you with the 1.5 available that we started with 2.6 million. You can see we've got 300,000 still available for the Affordable Housing Grant Program. And we've got the 750 still in the Development Infrastructure Program. So that was my very brief and quick just sort of background. And before I hand over to Michael to start talking about what is being proposed in the budget, does anybody have any questions on any of those things?
Hi, Sarah. Yes, I do. Yeah. On the you mentioned on the railroad, now I know that that's been talked about for a while, that it'll depend on the talks with the railroad and so forth. Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of feel the timeline on that when the railroad can give an answer back?
So it's not going to be as fast as we want, but we have started. So historically, it's been a longer process actually than what we're looking at. We've had to go through sort of a lengthier process to get the railroad to come to the table. In the last couple of years, what Public Works has been able to do is they've been able to partner with what's kind of known as a railroad consultant. And so they can help us sort of fast track those conversations. Of course, fast track meaning we're hoping to get a response within 9 months. So I've been outreaching with Public Works since the fall. I've got somebody there that I'm already working with. We're putting together the scope right now so that we can get the railroad consultant to start working with us, and then they'll start having those conversations with the railroad. And basically, we have to provide some high-level designs because we can't just go to them and say, hey, will you even let us do anything? They're going to say, well, what are you even proposing? So we're working on that right now to kind of say, here's what some high-level options could be. And so what we're trying to get out of them is, one, would you even entertain the discussion. And if you will, what is that going to cost us? And then from there, I can come back and provide an update to the board, and then we can just see, you know, what's going to make sense. So it's not as fast as we would hope, but unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, it depends on how you look at it. When we were looking at the design for the left turn lane project, the way that the road was going to taper, if we were allowed to do that Pine Street extension, the whole thing would have to be redesigned because they would intersect with each other in a way that wouldn't work. And so when I started talking to Public Works, that was my concern, is I don't want to dump a bunch of money into a design. If the railroad actually said yes, we've now wasted a bunch of money. And so that's where we kind of all decided, well, let's figure out this large, because everything, you know, ties together. How we develop the former Zamora site depends on the extension. How we design the left turn lane depends on that extension. And then if we know we can't do the extension, well, then we know we have some additional funds too that we could put towards another project. So it's taking a little bit longer, but I think it's going to allow us to be more strategic with our money. So I'll be providing updates as soon as we get the consultant on board and they're working. I'll be updating everybody, and hopefully we'll have an answer before we're talking about budget again.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I know it's not as fast as I would like either.
Well, the rail service itself is pretty slow, so I know just with our company on freight and so forth. So I just was curious on the land or use planning on with the railroad, and if it was more on our end or their end that's taking the time. So
I'll be honest, up to this point, it's been on our end. It's been getting the right pieces in place. And I will say Public Works Engineering has just been completely bogged down and overwhelmed. And so I've had to pull someone from their team to sort of help on this. And so that's what's taken a little bit of time too, is finding someone that has some capacity, that has experience in helping us put this forward. But now that I have someone, and the nice thing is I'm actually working with this individual on another project as well. So it's nice because I can kind of, work on both at the same time with him, rather than having to set up separate meetings and stuff to try and expedite things as much as possible. But we're trying to move it along. And yeah, so at this point, it's us. And then at one point, it most likely will be the railroad. But we'll be keeping you up to date all along the way for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else from anybody? If not, I'll hand it over to Michael to go over the proposed budget. Okay, Michael, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Sarah, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Thanks for having me this morning. I am new to the city. I started here 10 months ago and have been working to try to understand all of the budget intricacies of this place, and it's been quite a challenge. So I'm going to pull it up on my screen and share with you the spreadsheet that much of the columns here to the from 22 to the right are going to look very familiar, because Sarah just went over them in very good detail. One of the things I wanted to do is say, last night I came in, when I developed 2023's budgets, I basically focused on where we were in 22 and what we needed to do in 23, and I completely ignored what we did in 21. So last night I came in and I updated the 21, so all the math worked, and it doesn't look weird that somebody says, oh, your sums don't sum. So these 21 actual figures are now accurate, and it was my fault, not Sarah's, certainly, that the document that you got for your meeting this morning did not reflect reality, because as I said, I concentrated on 22 and 23. So over here in 23, which is what we're talking about, we're looking at beginning fund balance of a little about $16 million, plan on $4 million in borrowing for the du jour proceeds, which is going to leave you about $20 million. And Sarah's done an excellent job of going down and talking about all the planned spending. And so what I usually do is I start with any budget, I start at the bottom right hand corner. As long as these numbers are black, then you're usually in good shape, and they are, and you are. So this would be the ending fund balance and what you'll see in the budget document that the city adopts is that will actually become unallocated but appropriated, which would allow a mid-year correction if it was deemed necessary. And your max indebtedness is $17 million. And I will try to answer any questions, but I make no guarantees.
Well, thanks, Mike. Does anyone have any questions? Seems like we're all right. Well, thanks, Mike. Welcome. Thank you. First meeting you've come to.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the next informational item.
The one thing that I shared with Jared yesterday, I think, when we chatted, so historically, when we get the budget rules, we have until early March to go ahead and get the approvals made. Unfortunately, the rules didn't come out until just in January, and they're actually asking for approvals in the month of February. And so normally we present it and then we ask for any modifications, we bring it back to you in March and then ask for approvals. We are asking for an exception sort of this time just because we weren't aware of the timing shifts and we didn't have a quorum for the January meeting anyway, so we couldn't have done much with that. But we are asking for an approval today, knowing obviously, as hopefully you're all aware, we can always make changes along the way as we need to. The board's been great about that. You know, if we need to modify things come up, we always have the ability to go to the agency and make those changes as well.
Okay, I would move approval of the budget as presented. Mark Adams.
Jared Martin, I second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Budget approved.
Great. Thank you, everyone, and thank you, Michael. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, so let's move on to Courtney's here to talk about the Salem Community Improvement Bond. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning. It's such a joy to hear you guys talk and make these kinds of plans. I used to love being a part of North Gateway and West, and it's such a joy. This is where the stuff gets done. So I'm here today. I moved up from urban development. I don't remember. I was trying to think about how many years ago, but I don't recall. And I'm sitting in the city manager's office now, and I get to do things like communications, legislative policy, strategic planning, all those kinds of things. And one of the things that's fallen to me is to try to get ideas for this big new bond we're talking about. And so that's what I want to talk with you about today. I don't have a lot to present because mostly what we're doing now is gathering ideas for what might fit in the bond. And so many of those projects that you guys were just talking about have a nexus potentially with the bond should it get approved in November of 22. So I can tell you a little bit about what I know and then answer questions and take your ideas for projects. So just contextually, we're getting ideas in January and February, and then the City Council has appointed a committee that is five of them who will wrestle with what fits in this bond and what is not quite ready. And then they'll recommend to Council, here's the bond, and we'll start messaging all of the great news that there is to share. So here's what we know so far. What we're talking about doing is a bond that is a mix of things. So it's unlike how we usually do things. 2006, we were fortunate to buy fire trucks and equipment. Those, as you might imagine, are about 400,000 road miles now. And my own truck is about 260, and I'm nervous. So I think about our fire guys and how anxious they might be. And then we did streets and bridges in 2008, and you know about all the fabulous improvements in your neck of the woods as a result of that work. We're looking at adding parks this time and a couple of other things. So it's a totally different way of going about a bond than we've ever done before. So here's the skinny. Again, November of 2022, we're trying to pull together a plan for 10 years. And that's why this is so big and right now amorphous. because we're trying to say, what are our needs for 10 years with a lot of community engagement? And we're aiming at about $300 million. And we think we can do $300 million for 10 years and not change the tax rate. And I can show you more specifically if you're curious about how that works. Of the 2006 bonds are falling off, the 2008 bond is falling off. So a lot of the investments that we've already made are leaving the tax rate that is charged. And so we can hold it constant as we have today for the next 10 years and do a lot for our community. So here's the general idea. Brace yourself. This is what we know. It's not a lot. What we know is about $300 million. If we put about half of that, or $150 million, into streets and sidewalks, we can make a pretty good dent. We wouldn't at all take care of everything and every problem in our community, but we could certainly make a good dent over the next 10 years. So that's one place where that size of the pie could get bigger or smaller, depending on kind of feedback that we are hearing over these next couple of months. So streets and sidewalks is pegged at about $150 million. The fire engines and equipment I mentioned earlier, we're looking at $26 million. That is sort of non-negotiable. It's either in or it's out. We know we have an urgent need for fire engines and equipment. That would probably be the first thing we would do. And then we would take care while we're designing, as you know, designing streets takes some time, streets and sidewalks and acquiring property, we would start feeding those projects in. Then you can see a park upgrade piece of the pie. We don't really know what the needs are in the community, which is why we're asking people. And so that's, again, a place where the pie could get bigger or smaller, depending on the need in the community. The Civic Center earthquake safety, I think that's about $45 million, and that's either in or out. It's what it would take to bring that 1972 building up to current earthquake standards. It's the only one we haven't done. We did all the fire stations. We did the library recently. Thank you for your support in that, Ron. And then we have two future fire stations imagined for this bond. We think over the next 10 years, we're going to need to improve our response time by locating a fire station in North Northeast. The fire chief's idea is to move it off the Chemeketa campus, which creates a bunch of problems and isn't even in the community, isn't even in Salem, and move it more over towards Portland Road. And he won't tell you where because he doesn't want to jack up the price. So, and then there's another idea for over in Southeast-ish Salem. Technology and cybersecurity, that's a bucket of stuff where as we're moving more and more into these hybrid worlds and we're doing so much more of our service online, we're really discovering that we have a real important need to protect everyone's information that we're collecting. And so we want to make some bigger investments, physical investments in infrastructure. And then you'll see a little turquoise piece. And right now, as you guys know, with the capital focus of these dollars, we're talking about purchasing sites and constructing affordable housing. And so generally speaking, I have two questions for you guys. And the first one is, how does that pie generally look? Would you make some pieces smaller, some pieces larger? And then I would ask you for specific project ideas. So if it's okay with you guys, I'm just going to shut this off for a conversation.
I'll comment. I have to admit I have a dog in the fight. I'm elected to Salem Suburban Rural Fire Protection District, so I'm very well aware of the equipment needs that Salem Fire Department has, because we, as a separate fire department, take out a bond and buy some equipment for the fire department to use in our specific suburban areas. The equipment is way past its life, and because of the high volume of calls, it went past its lifeline faster than it should have. I'm very concerned about everything being lumped into one big bond. I don't think that's wise at all. And I've served on the school board in the past. We've passed bonds. I've been involved with a lot of different things. I think this is not a wise plan. But being as that's what council wants to do, that's what we have to move ahead with. So the way the pie looks now, I know the fire department, that's just basically replacing the equipment. That's not expansion. The need for more sites, new fire department or fire stations is huge. And so those to me personally are priorities. Streets and things is a big, big chunk of that pie. And I guess I'd look into what that means. You know, are we repaving? Are we expanding? Are we upgrading? I'm sure all of that is in there. But my concern is with the amount of this bond being what it is in our current society today with inflation and everything, I'm concerned that this may not have much of a chance. That's my opinion. But I can't comment more than that because it's City Council's decision on how this goes. So.
Thank you, Mark. Hey, by the way, just in case you guys are curious, we have done one poll, and it's actually faring pretty well at the first blush. We're at well over 60% after people listen to what we can do with it. So I hear you, and you are, like, I don't know, second or third person to express that same kind of concern, because it's not our usual practice, and so it seems kind of different, and it makes people uncomfortable. But it seems to be working. We'll see.
We'll find out. I mean, obviously, yeah. The voters will determine. If I personally think people like a little more choice on what they want to support instead of you got the full meal deal, family right. package, you're not allowed just to buy one item. So right. We'll see how the voters respond to that. And I think it'll be interesting. It'll be fun to watch. But if it doesn't pass, then it's going to be ugly because then you're into a scramble to try and break things down and do them individually. And then there's the battle between who gets to go out first on a bond and priorities, and we won't go there any further than that. But I also have a concern about the amount of money for the retrofit, seismic retrofit for City Hall. That to me would not be a priority, but that's just me. I know that the smaller outlying buildings of the library and things have already been done. I would like to see maybe some money allocated into different areas. I would love to see more into community enforcement, police, not necessarily code enforcement, but whatever we can do to deal with some of the homeless problem and cleanup afterwards. I know that cleanup is big and that costs a lot of money. So I would love to see some of that stuff going on.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the input. And I want to also just notice that these monies can't go for more police or more community enforcement. But you bring up a good point. And we do need to figure that out, too.
Is there a reason you can't change the put in for police and enforcement?
I'm sorry? Is there a reason what?
That you can't change that? You can't change the pie you can't add police and enforcement? Is your pie, like, set? These are the things
you decided? No, the pie isn't the thing that influences being able to support operations. The pie is because this is a general obligation bond. And when we use that source of money, it has to be for capital improvements. And that's why it goes to the ballot, because we're telling the community, hey, these are the kinds of things that we want to buy. And we have to be fairly specific. And then the community says yes or no, and then it's sort of a contract. We're obligated to purchase those things. And these are capital dollars. So while we could build fire stations with these funds, we can't hire more firefighters to respond. Gotcha. Just like we could build affordable housing and shelter, but we can't operate more affordable housing and shelter with these monies. So we can build it and stand it up, and then there would need to be some other conversations in the community about how to staff those things. So just one other example that I
was going to say, just like you are right, Jared, you know, we've had that conversation as a board that we can purchase and develop and do all sorts of things, but we can't maintain them. We couldn't staff them. So that these bonds are really in a very similar way, how do we use your resources? And there may be an opportunity for some of those priorities you guys were just discussing. You know, if the bond passes, you might be able to push some of those projects into the bond and then refocus urban renewal resources on other priorities that might be further down the list. The only other thing I want to just notice is, like, one of the things that the council's going to be considering as they're getting all these project ideas, I mentioned we have a parks upgrade portion. We have tons of great plans on parks, and we just never have had the capital money to go out and purchase equipment and build more new parks and things. One of the things the council's going to be considering is, if we build a new park, then we have to staff it. We have to start maintaining it, and that's going to be probably a lower priority. That kind of a project would be a lower priority just because it has a tail to it on the other side. But something like taking out play equipment that's old and dangerous and replacing it with new park equipment, that is like all in. That's as simple, I'm saying this like I know what I'm talking about, but it's an easier fix, and it doesn't result in an operating cost, right? So those are the kinds of things that we're looking at. And I just want to say, back to the streets and sidewalks, I mentioned, you know, we have so much need. And as you drive around town, you can tell how much need we have with streets and sidewalks. And so we just have to figure out a way to take those things that are going to have the best impact, biggest impact on residents, and put those into the bond, right? So there are still some bigger things like, you know, McGillcrest and those bigger things we can probably still try to get federal dollars for or something like that. But the missing sidewalks or the better street lighting for safety or safe routes to schools or parks, those kinds of things, and working with transit too, those kinds of things that make it easier for people to get around town, those are the right sized things, and we can get a whole bunch of them done. We couldn't compete for federal dollars for some of those smaller things, but we could get a lot done in our community with these resources. Some of the money might be pavement R&R is what they call it, replacing, I don't know what the other R is. And some of it might be new streets. Right now, the feedback that I've gotten so far from the community has been, you know, take good care of what we already have before we start building new. And that is code for pavement R&R, which we're pretty good at. But there is definitely a lot of need around sidewalks and new sidewalks. That's another thing I'm hearing.
Are people bringing up crosswalks? Because I feel like there's not enough crosswalks.
Yeah. Do you have any places in mind?
It just seems like they're pretty span apart on major roads like commercial. I know Kubler, I don't think you'd even want to do one, but I mean, I see a lot of people trying to cross it.
Okay.
Liberty's another one that doesn't have very many. Out south, at least, where I'm at.
Okay. Any other pain points that you notice when you're driving or walking about?
I just notice a lot of, I'm in West Salem, I notice a lot of corner replacement, you know, the ADA type stuff that wasn't even 10 years old is being replaced. And then I drive downtown to visit my mother, and I notice sidewalks that look like they're out of a Hollywood horror movie. So that R&R has, I know it's in the works, but it still needs to be more of a priority. And I know that some of those corner replacements, you know, are probably federal dollars, so things are different than the things, but I like to maintain, you know, as a general policy, our older city core, and I would put more improvements there first. New development always has plenty of money for, you know, sidewalks, street lighting, things like that, but the old parts of town don't have that. And if we can enhance that, that makes those a little more desirable for families and people to move into. So I would, we've got a pretty neat old downtown, and I would like to see some priority put there versus newer projects and second or third bicycle lanes or things like that. Okay. So that's just my input.
That's great. Nate, do you have anything you want to say?
No, I'm good.
Okay, thank you. Well, if there's anything else, shout out. We have also a great resource in our website where you can just opine about things that you think should be included in the bond. And we're, like I mentioned, the council committee is going to be looking at all of these ideas in March, and they're going to be using a bunch of different things to figure out individual projects and whether they should go in, but then also looking at the package as a whole. So any input you want to share is welcome, and we'll have some idea where we're going, hopefully by April or November of 22.
Excellent. Thank you, Courtney. Any more questions?
Thank you so much.
Anyone? I think everybody's good?
Yeah, not for me. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. You'll hear more, I promise. Thank you. I'm going to head out.
Thanks, Courtney.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so me and Sir discuss, I don't think we have a need for a March meeting. So we'll just take that month off unless something comes up, right, Sarah?
Yep, we should be able to take a little break. And like I mentioned, I think you were all on before sort of the meeting started, but we do have a handful of vacant positions. So here in the next week, before the end of the week is my goal, I'm going to try and reach out to just any of those really active board members that we've had in the past who either might be interested in joining again, might know of somebody interested. I've had some conversations with people over the last few months who were interested. I don't think they submitted applications, but I'm gonna kind of go back to them and see if they might, trying to push everyone to like get an application in by the end of February kind of a thing. And then just some of the other folks who have maybe taken advantage of our grant programs, newer businesses in the area that we know about. I'm going to try and just reach out to some of those folks too, just so we can, you know, build our board back up with some folks that, you know what we do and want to get more involved in kind of URA aspect. But at the same time, if you guys know of anybody, we have at large position, we have a business property owner positions, and we have a couple residential ones. And with the residential, you don't have to live in North Gateway. You could just live close by. So, you know, those are always some of the hardest to fill too. So if you know of anybody, I'll send out the link after the meeting and you can feel free to forward it. There's an application on our website for folks to fill out so we can start to build the board back up again after a couple unexpected departures due to new jobs and moving and things like that. So I'll get that out to everybody. And I think the only other thing I was going to mention, unfortunately, Annie had to jump off. She just IM'd me, and I was hoping to catch her before she left. I know most of you have worked with Annie Gorski over the last, 16 years, I think she's been with the city. And she will be departing us later this month. Her and her family are starting a new adventure in Missoula, Montana. And so for those of you who have had the chance to work with her, I just wanted to make sure you knew in case you wanted to reach out before she was gone. So she will be leaving in a couple of weeks, and we're very excited for her, but we're definitely going to miss her as well. And I think that's it, unless anyone has any
questions. Yeah, I've got a question, Sarah. Mentioned earlier that the safety, security components.
Yes.
That's in the works. You said should finalize this week.
Yes, yeah, so the grant got approved. So the program is approved. It got approved by the agency on the 24th. So this is the strategic project grant. So once again, all of these things can get funded in the regular grant program, but the difference with this is there's no match. It's a $20,000 maximum, and it's really to focus on those exterior security issues that people have been having tied to a variety of things that have happened in the last few years. Right. And as soon as that goes live, I will be sending a note to the board to let y'all know that the website's there. You can start doing applications. You can forward it to people you know. We'll be getting it out on our social media things for the city. In the past, we've sort of tried to say make a site live on X date, and sometimes it gets released early, and we didn't want it to get released before the agency actually approved the program. And so that's sort of what the little bit of delay is. But I was working with our PR person earlier this week on sort of those finalizations. So I'm hopeful, if not today, tomorrow, it should be up and going and people can see.
Yeah, just shoot me a note, because I know we're interested for our property and the neighbors are very interested for their properties too. So, so we would love to participate in that. So.
Yeah, and then I'll be updating the board on kind of how those funds are going out the door. We're based on, obviously, Sheree kind of, when we had an informal chat in January, you know, as Sheree had mentioned, in downtown, it's been very successful, and they've had to, you know, refill the pot numerous times. We have no idea what to expect in North Gateway, but my assumption is it will go just as quickly. I think there's a lot of, you know, needs out there, and this is an easy way to maybe, you know, do some of those projects and not be so financially burdensome on property owners. And then for those projects that are over that $20,000 threshold, they can still apply for our standard rehabilitation grant and do the, you know, the one-to-one match. But, you know, at least there's something there. And like I said, we've got about $1.5 million. You know, right now I'm projecting maybe we'll have about $600,000 to roll over. It may be less than that. We're still getting a lot of inquiries, and they're larger projects. So, I mean, we could go through the rest of our regular grant money still this year, which would be fantastic. I mean, the fact we've already gone through $1.1 million, and really this was as of, you know, late January, because that's when I put your packet together. You know, there's still 6 months left where people could be capitalizing on those funds. So I think it's a nice reflection on the fact that, you know, things are starting to pick up again, and people are making those investments in North Gateway. And so the strategic grant, I think, is just a nice way to sort of piggyback off of all the other developments that are happening.
Sure. And then shifting gears over to the board, we approached the CTEC program to see if the school district would have a representative on the board. I mean, or is that appropriate? That would be my question.
You know, that's an interesting one. I mean, they would fall under I guess they own the property, but they're tax exempt. So that's where it gets a little tricky. Okay. I'm not saying that they couldn't. I don't think I've had someone apply that was from a nonprofit before to be part of the board. I think that's just something I would double check with Kristen on. Just to see, you know, it always gets a little tricky. I mean, obviously we have partnerships because we have agreements, and that's how we're funded. You know, we have these relationships. And so but at the same time, you know, our programs and stuff aren't geared towards those folks just because they're not paying in. And but so
didn't we give a bunch of money to that program?
We did. We went through an exemption process in order to do that. You are correct.
Yeah.
But no, I have not directly reached out, but I'm not saying it isn't possible. I just something that I have not run into. So before I speak incorrectly, I would just need to double check. And it might be something I have to double check with legal on, just based on how the positions are defined. As business property owners, how does that work if you're a nonprofit, or does it matter?
I was just trying to think of other people.
Yeah, no, I'll add that to my list for sure. Definitely. Yeah, and in all honesty, you know, the holidays, it's hard to sort of get people to get excited and want to submit applications to join a board. We only had one person who actually turned out, so it wasn't such a big deal. It was just sort of the timing of Brittany taking a new job and Dania moving on top of it, and then we already had two vacant residential positions. So that kind of threw things into, we never filled Jason's from when he left, just because we weren't having residents apply. I think I've seen one or two apps that have maybe been submitted. So there is a little bit of movement, and I haven't checked in recently, but I just figured I'll do a big push and see what we can't get.
Sure. Yep.
But the more the help, you know, anyone who knows someone who would be great for the board, I mean, please feel free, because the more ideas and viewpoints and, you know, perspectives we can get, I think, you know, the better kind of work we can all do together.
Excellent. Well, thanks, everybody, and we'll see you in 2 months.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
See ya.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.